It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
We are brought to you. We are powered by Pinnacle Racing. Still time as you're getting amped up for regionals and nationals to talk to Jimmy Blair at Pinnacle Racing. He can take care of your boot needs. He can take care of basically any need you might have, Coach, when it comes to skating.
The only thing he can't take care of is our next skater coming up on Skate Talk, and that's an artistic skater from the Wisconsin area. Bree will be up next.
Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Find us on Podomatic. Find us on iTunes. However you access podcasts, that's how you get to us. All you have to do is search Skate Talk, Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We have a massive archive of shows. You can go back and listen to all the greats of the sport. Basically, anyone who has been involved in speed skating, anyone who has skated, we've had them on the show. And we are going to continue with that tradition here today, Coach.
We are going to continue, only we're going to go into another field that we've never done before. So this is a really cool opportunity to see another sport highlighted on our show. And that's an artistic skater. So we have Bree Stahl up in the Wisconsin area on the phone with us today. How are you, Bree?
Good.
Yes.
Awesome, Bree. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to be flat out honest. I am a total novice when it comes to understanding artistic skating. The only thing I do know is it's something I would never be able to do.
That's because he falls.
Lots. So you've got to talk to us about artistic skating. You've got to talk to us. Well, we've got like a whole list of questions. But so I'm curious again for some of the speed skaters that aren't quite as familiar with artistic skating. Tell us a little bit about what artistic skating is all about.
Well, we do lots of competitions, and it's, like, there's a bunch of people sometimes, and, like, the competition could be very hard, and you get very proud when you get on the podium. It's just very fun.
Okay, Bree, so how old are you, Bree?
I'm 10.
You're 10, so you're elementary, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and how many years have you been competing?
Since I was 1 year old.
Since you were one?
Get out.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. How did you, at 1 year old, how did you get into this?
Well, my mom put me on skates when I first started walking. I've been doing it ever since.
So you're pretty much a natural. You probably skate better than you walk, right?
Pretty much.
So I'm curious, Bree, so you've got a lot of competitions, you've got a lot of these great competitors at these artistic competitions. What is your routine like? So when it's your turn to go, what exactly do you do when you're out there?
Well, it's a lot of like choreographing and stuff. Like, it takes a lot of time to get a routine. You also have to like perform like hard. You do jumps and you also like have to like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, it's, like, go out and, like, do expressions, like, face expressions.
Okay.
And then you could get more.
Well, maybe, this is Mom and Coach, so maybe I should clarify. In artistic skating, we have many different areas. So right now, she's kind of talking about her creative solo or her freestyle routine. Something else she does is dance, which is kind of like ballroom dancing on skates. And then something else she does is figures. So when you see those circles on the floor, those are for our figure circles. And then the even smaller ones are loops. And Brie kind of does everything. So when, right now she's talking about her creative solo, though.
Well, we creatively use those loops for circle drills for our crossovers.
So now I know who to blame on all those circles being on
it's
the Brie.
Floor. It's all
yeah,
Brie's Brie. Fault.
Come on now. So, Brie, how do you put together these routines? Like, as we were talking about the creative routine, how do you put this together?
Well, I have, like, my mom, like, does, like, the dance figure and loop. And then I have Alyssa. She is one of another one of our coaches. She choreographs all my routines and stuff, and she's just really good at it.
Okay. And do you have any input as to what you would like to add to that, or are you pretty much at the limitations of what your coaches tell you you need to do for your performance?
Usually we both like put in ideas and then like we like try it out and see like how it looks and
okay.
all that.
And now I also guess then you probably have a lot of outfits.
Yes. They're expensive too, because of all like the stones on them.
Uh huh. The sequences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where do you get your outfits from?
I don't.
Usually, we have to have them made, a seamstress, and then decorating them. Either a seamstress can do that, or another skater. Skaters are really good at decorating them.
So what's a ballpark price for, let's say, an outfit for one of these dances?
If it's heavily stoned, it can be $250 to $500 easily.
And Boomer complains at a $65 uniform for the whole season.
Yes. I'll wear a tattered skin suit for years because I don't want to spend the money.
And you have different outfits for different dances and different choreographed routines, correct?
Right. But then again, you can find some used ones. If you get it new, then it's going to be more expensive. But like Brie has been fortunate enough that a lot of hers we get used from other skaters. And you put it on a redhead like this one, and it looks totally different than it did on the little brunette that wore it before her. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the major differences is hair color, because speed skaters usually don't see hair color because they all have helmets on, so you can't see them. So the art skaters, they don't have helmets.
That's right.
I mean, I'm learning so much here.
I know.
All this stuff I just did not know. I had absolutely no idea.
So for the record, okay, Brie, for the record, at Monday's practice, I think I did a toe loop, but it wasn't on purpose. I got twisted up and I started to fall. And it was very graceful, but I think I did a toe loop. I'm not sure.
If he tells you it was graceful, it wasn't. Don't believe him. Do not believe him. Now, Brie, I'm kind of, you know, I'm really curious about these competitions because I've never seen a competition, and now I'm really wanting to go see one, and I'm thinking, like, right now when we're done with Skate Talk, maybe popping up some YouTube videos to see what I can find. Is you go through like what's a day like when you have a competition? How many events do you have? Is it one right after the other? Is it like a speed meet where you go do your thing, you sit down for a bit? How does all of that work?
Usually you don't really know, and you have to like check the forms, like sometimes like the schedule, and you like sometimes it could be like one event like and then the next one right after that could be yours, like again, or you could like wait like a while, like it could be like an hour till your next one.
So does fatigue
does 2 days or during the year usually our meets are 2 days.
Okay. And does the fatigue ever take a play in this, like if you've done one routine and then you have to go right back up really quickly and do another routine, does that sometimes kind of fatigue you a little bit and maybe make it so your next routine isn't as good as it could have been?
Well, yeah, because it gets me, like, really tired.
Now, are you on quads only, or do you do the inlines and quads?
I'm only quads.
You're only quads, okay.
All right, and do they score you? Is that how it works, then? There's judges that score you with this?
Yeah, and then you can, like, and then they place you.
Yeah, I'm learning so much about this.
And now, is every movement that you do, is it a weighted system? So, like, if you just basically did a little turnaround, that's worth so many points. But if you actually did a jump, that's worth more points. I mean, how does that work?
Sort of. Maybe I should answer this for you. So there are points that you can get more standardized for, like, deductions.
Okay.
So if we get, if someone has, say they're doing figures and they have, they put their foot down where they weren't supposed to, they could get, and there's usually a range, like, depending on if it's a major, if they fall in a figure, that's a major deduction.
Okay.
If they put their foot down in a figure, then it can be considered how long they put their foot down. It could be major or minor. Like, if they tap their foot down, it could be 1 to 5 points, but if they set their whole foot down, it could be 5 to 15 points. Just depends on what they decide, how bad the error is. So we usually get more in deductions than you do. You don't usually, like, earn points. You kind of more, like, get deducted for errors.
So is each routine weighted with so much value, and then based off of mistakes, there's deductions from that value? And that's what determines the winners?
Yeah, we see it on a 100-point system. So if you kind of think of it like a grade in school, if you get between 70 and 80, kind of like a C.
Okay.
We don't usually see scores in the 90s unless you're a world-class skater and have performed very well. But we can see some scores between 70s and 80s. Generally, we see scores even in the 60s for just skaters that are out there competing.
Yeah.
And then there's different divisions, which I know you guys have too. So
yeah.
Bree skates the juvenile division right now.
Okay.
So that's for 10 to 12-year-olds. So she skates only against that age division, but then she can also skate elementary and below, which would be 12 and under. So when she was 6, 7, 8, she was skating against 12-year-olds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And regardless to what Boomer said, I'm giving myself a 95 on my toe loop.
No, it's like a 5. I mean, that's really what it was. Yes, we're going really low there. So, Bree, with it being that judges basically are awarding points, do you get into some disagreements? Do you ever disagree with what some of the judges say?
Yes. Especially my mom, like,
here we go.
She'll kind of get mad.
Yeah? Does she turn into a soccer mom?
Well, I'm her coach, too.
Right. So you're like Bobby Knight on the side aisle.
Well, you wear the coach hat, but when you're also mom, you're wearing the two hats.
So yeah.
Kind of easy to blur the two lines, as you know. So, you know, you want your child to do really, really well as a parent, but
yeah,
then as a coach, you're looking at what they're doing wrong in that area. But yeah, she's been robbed before.
Sure.
And I have to say, there's times where she's gotten something, and I go, "Merry Christmas!"
Right.
Maybe it's because our sport is very subjective. That's why they have at least 3 judges on an event.
Okay.
We never have just one. 3 to 5, and then at the world class level, they'll have up to 7. But yeah,
that makes sense.
Some things haven't gone her way that should have gone her way before.
Now, Bree, when you go to these competitions, like, overall, how many people are there?
Oh, well, usually, like there's not just skaters. Like, people bring, like, other people, so I don't know how many. Usually it's around different kind of meets, like nationals. There's, like, everybody from, like, around the U.S., from the, like, country.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, different meets, like, it's around, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, different states.
Participants at one of our local meets, we usually have about 150 at one of our Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin kind of meets. 150. Our Wisconsin meets, we have less than 40 at a meet. But then when you're talking about our nationals have, probably, I'm not sure how many at our nationals, because our nationals get spread out over 2 weeks.
Right.
So they separate the youth with the adults. And so we don't actually end up seeing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's the youth week. And then generally we go home. So we're spread out. And that is, you know, one of the things that I think kind of hurts our sport is that we are spread out. It would help if in some way they could get us there all at the same time. But at least she gets to see all the other kids. She's got friends all over the country from sport that she keeps in contact with.
Now, is it where at Nationals we've got, like, they do the week of the speed, and then what, artistic comes in the following week, correct?
2 weeks.
So it's speed for the week, then artistic has the next 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's basically in the same, you know, same venue, but we clear out of there before everyone comes in, which is why we never get a chance to see it.
Right.
Which would be nice if there was a way to work around that as well, because I think we would enjoy being able to see that. But after,
you guys should plan a couple extra days on there and come see the kids.
And, you know, typically I think for me, and I'm speaking for me here, and Coach is even out there longer than I've been, but after a couple of days, I'm ready to go home. So, again, so it'd be nice, like, is we're out there, and okay, well, today's just basically a practice day for me.
Yeah.
I've got to hang out because I've got, like, a five-minute practice, and that's it. Well, if there was something else, if there was something new to watch, because we get our fill of watching speed skating when we're out there. You can only watch so much, you know? It'd be nice to go check something different out.
Well, when Fort Wayne hosted Nationals, I was able actually to go over. I went over to 4 or 5 days of art because I still had my lantern from speed. So I'm in town. I just went ahead and went over and watched some stuff. I watched the world class skaters go, and I watched a handful of the younger ones go. And it was a really interesting experience. And it's a whole nother spectrum of skating that a lot of people just don't know anything about. And a lot of speed skaters don't know anything about art, and a lot of art skaters probably don't know much about speed skating. So I think it's really cool to get some of this information out there so people can, even if they don't want to compete, it wouldn't hurt to be a spectator. It wouldn't hurt to give some respect to the other disciplines and the other sports and say, hey, I recognize you as an athlete, as a sport as well.
And we could actually complement each other. Like, for instance, the roller derby has had Alyssa and myself come in and work with them.
Yeah.
They don't really understand things like edges and things like that, whereas for you guys in speed, you probably could assist our skaters with their basic pushes, things that would help them. Because when she skates dance, it's a powerful event.
Mm-hmm.
She has to do certain steps, and she has to put them on the floor in certain places. But the strong skaters are the ones that generally win. And so if you're not skating strong, or your push or your technique is poor, he's not getting as much speed as somebody who skates maybe not as nice as she does, and they're beating her because they're stronger than her. Things like that.
Yeah.
And so we should all work together more, you know?
Yeah. So Bree, what is your like awesomest element that you can do?
What's the thing you do the best?
Well, that depends really.
This is going to sound really strange, but probably the best thing she does is inner forward loops, which are those smaller figure circles on the floor.
Yeah.
Which I see. She can roll around. She's one of the youngest people that can roll around in an inner forward loop.
But okay.
You guys are probably more important, like jumps and spins and things like that. She's got a pretty nice sit spin.
Okay.
Well, how did you learn how to do that, Bree? What was that like?
It's a loop.
Well, any of it. How hard was that to learn, and how many falls did you take?
Well, for like the years, I didn't really have much falls because it's not as hard as like creative and like freestyle. Like you have to jump higher, and you have to like you could trip more and like trip over.
She doesn't like to fall, so she doesn't let herself fall a lot, but. Mm-hmm. Which is why she doesn't do freestyle anymore. She used to. Now she likes creative. They still have jumps and spins in there, but they limit the rotation of the jump in creative to a single rotation. And so she can do all her single rotations, so she does creative. When you're doing freestyle, the kids at her age are doing doubles
I just can't even imagine, because I hate to fall too, but I know if I tried that stuff, I would be falling nonstop.
So here's a really good question for me is, when we put fresh plastic down, because as speed skaters, we love to have a lot of grip when we hit the corners, the derby team that practices in the same rink on the same floor, they absolutely hate having all that grip because it makes their wheels stick. When they fall down, their pads hit the floor and it jerks them around and they can't slide. So they don't like it when there's a lot of grip. So for an artistic skater, Bree, do you prefer the floor to be really super grippy, or do you like the floor to kind of have a little bit of slide to it?
Like medium, like I don't like it being like really grippy because then it just feels like I can't skate very well.
Okay.
I don't sliding because then I like fall more also.
Okay.
For dance, the thing we were talking about where she needs a lot of power, we like a tight floor for that. And for figures, it makes it hard to do her turns if the floor is too tight on 1 foot, a 1 foot, 3-turn bracket, counters, things like that. It's hard to do on 1 foot if the floor is too tight. We end up changing our wheels, and you guys probably do too, but in figures, she skates on a harder wheel. So when the floor is really slick, it's very hard for her to get her initial takeoff, you know, her start. But when the floor is tight, she can get better takeoff, but her turns might stick a little bit.
Gotcha.
So it's probably hard finding the perfect floor condition. So, yeah, you've got to bring multiple sets of wheels and just kind of adapt for whatever particular
right.
program you're in.
So, like, back in the long time agos, okay, when I was a kid, my sister had these pink pom-pom balls with little bells on them on her toes of her skates. Do you have those same things, or do you not do those?
No.
No pom-poms?
No.
That's an emphatic no right there.
Yeah, it was.
So when Coach sees you, Bree, he's going to be like, hey, will you put these on your skates and just, like, turn away and walk away, okay? So when is, because I'm curious now, are you guys in a league like we're in the Great Lakes Speed League? So it's the Great Lakes, you know, Artistic League? How does that work?
We have a Wisconsin League, but there's only 3 small clubs in Wisconsin right now. And then we're also in it's called the Iowa League, which is Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And then we skate invitationals around the country during our season as well, but we didn't go to any invitationals this year or last year, actually. Just didn't work out for our schedule, but there's a couple big competitions. There's one in Ohio, I think, coming up this weekend, and they had one over St. Patrick's Day out in Maryland.
Okay, so what's the farthest you've traveled, Bree, for a competition?
New Mexico.
For nationals?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the farthest you've traveled for, like, an invitational or, like, just a big meet, but it's not nationals?
I think Ohio is just the other one. Probably Ohio.
That's a jaunt, though. I mean, just to get to the edge of Ohio, you're looking at 5.5 hours, 6 hours, so depending on how far up you are.
Do you like being in a car, Bree?
Sometimes, no. Especially when we had, like, our old truck, we didn't have air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
Next couple, no air conditioning.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds brutal, but that's, I think, is any type of skater. We've all had those road trips where
yeah.
it's just absolutely miserable. So do you guys then have a regionals coming up, Bree, before you go to nationals, or how does that work?
Yeah, and, like, if you, like, make it, like, through regionals, then you can go to nationals, but usually if someone doesn't make it in one event, they can make it in another, so they have a couple chances if they do different events.
Yeah, you guys have, like, the capabilities to do, it seems like 15 events a piece, it seems like. If you want to spend the money, there's all kinds of opportunities for you guys to compete, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's next for you? What's the next? Is regionals the next thing you're doing then, or you got something
yeah.
else you're doing before regionals?
No, regionals.
Okay.
We have a warm meet.
And do Do you ever put on like outdoor wheels and go out in the driveway and practice some of your routines and stuff at home or in a parking lot or on a tennis court or something like that?
Well, sometimes I like put on rollerblades, but my mom won't let me put on my real skates because they'll mess up the wheels, like on the driveway and stuff.
What? Well, that's why you get outdoor wheels. And boot covers and pom-poms with little bells on it, like I just said.
Coach is going to talk your mom into it here, Bree, just so you know.
Well, kiddo, time flies super fast when we're on the phone, and it's been such a pleasure to have you on and to open our eyes a little bit to your world of competition.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bree. I did not know all of that about artistic skating, and I'm learning. And like I was saying, I want to be able to hop up on YouTube and check out some videos. And as Coach had pointed out, if you do have the opportunity to watch and to learn, then go ahead and go for it.
Yeah.
There's lots of opportunities out there. Just Google, find a meet, maybe stick around an extra day or so when you're at Nationals and enjoy it.
Yeah, if that's your sport, go for it.
I like it. Well, Bree, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck as you get ready for more meets, for regionals and nationals. We hope to run into you soon. And we always extend an open invitation to all of our guests. Whenever you want to come back, you reach out to us and we will get you on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach, okay?
Bye.
How about after nationals? We'll touch base with you and we'll find out how your regionals and your nationals went. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bree.
Yep, thank you so much. Thanks, Kelly, as well. And by all means, I know we'll see you very, very soon. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left with a toe loop.
I'm not trying that toe loop thing. Not a chance.